Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ.
It is, as I said at the beginning of the service, good to be back among you today. Bring God's word to you as one who has been called to catch men. Not like Peter, James, and John were called directly by Jesus coming into their boat, but through the church. Nevertheless, with the same call, with the same mission, with the same grace and peace from God our Father. The Holy Spirit has something to teach us today about fishing, catching, not fish, but men, people. He catches people into his church, into his kingdom, by means of a net, the gospel of Christ, by means of the gospel in word and sacrament, especially holy baptism, as he brings us into his kingdom, calls us his children. Some of those who are caught into the Holy Christian Church are also called to become catchers. We can't take the analogy too far, of course, because in real life, fish do not then become fishermen. But Jesus does teach us with this analogy, this picture, the simple truth that it is he who catches us into his life, into him, into his church, his body, and then chooses some through the church to be catchers of others. And some of those who are caught will then also be chosen to become catchers of others, and so on, until Jesus comes again. This is how he will build his church, how he will fill the nets until he comes. And once and for all, the nets are drawn in by the angels. That's another parable that Jesus tells. So there is a lesson for us from Jesus, through his Holy Spirit, for both catchers, preachers, and for hearers of the word. First, let's review Luke's account in chapter 5. Right away, we see Jesus doing the preaching, catching. Large crowds crowding around him to hear the word of God as the net was drawn around them. But Jesus only planned to do that catching himself in person, visibly, for a few short years. His plan for himself on earth would lead to crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension to the right hand of God. The fishing, the catching of men that would go on for the next 2,000 or more years would take place also by Jesus. It's still he who does the catching, but he does it through me, through the ministry of word and sacrament, through the men whom he would choose. In order to teach us a few things about that preaching ministry, Jesus used this occasion of the fishing boat. He got into Peter's boat and asked him to put out from the shore a little bit so that he wouldn't be overcrowded by the people. And the people got their lesson from Jesus. That's when his lesson for Peter and his companions and for us really began. He told Peter to go out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. As we see at the end of the story, Jesus wasn't interested in fish that day, or in helping the fishing business of these fishermen who would that same day leave behind their fishing business in order to follow him. Instead, he's concerned about the lesson that they and we will learn about the catching of men into the church. There are at least four lessons for all of us to learn, both preachers and hearers of the word in this occasion, in this account. First lesson to be learned by Peter was trust. Trust in the word and power of Christ. As he tells Jesus, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Human reason taught Peter that it would be futile and foolish to go out, especially into the deep waters, and to cast their nets now, when everyone knew that proper fishing was done at night. And his experience told him that fishing is only the result of hard work. And even then, the hard work doesn't always pay off, as they found out the night before when they worked hard all night and caught nothing. All Peter had to go on here was Jesus' word and command. Go, let down the nets. Jesus was calling on him to set aside his human reason and experience and effort, and to rely solely on Jesus and his word for the outcome. And Peter did. Nevertheless, he said, at your word, I will let down the net. And that was the second lesson. The first lesson, trust. The second lesson, obey. Do what he says. Follow his instructions, no more, no less. In this case, simply let down the nets. Right here, right now, where Jesus tells you to let them down. Add no bait to make it attractive. Don't wiggle it around. Don't mess with it. Just put it out there and wait, and then pull it in with whatever is in it. That's the third lesson. Jesus provides catch of fish, catch of people. And it will be a big one. So big, as we find out in this account, that one man cannot possibly haul it in himself. It requires the help of your companions to haul it in, which includes his companions, like James and John in the other boat, who would also be called as catchers of men, and it includes the other companions who were along in the boat, who, as far as we know, were never called to be catchers of men. Catchers and the caught working together to pull in the net. Peter was so amazed at the catch of fish, as were all of the men, that he realized he was in the presence of the Holy God. He also realized very correctly that he was a sinner who didn't deserve to be in the presence of the Holy God, much less to become a servant in Jesus' service. So he fell down at Jesus' knees and said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." And he learned the fourth lesson that Jesus taught that day. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." Jesus offers pure grace and comfort to sinful Peter. He doesn't deny Peter's words in the least. He doesn't say, "No, no, you're less sinful than other people." He simply told him not to be afraid because of it, even though he was a sinful man. And that's the whole point. Jesus came to catch, to save sinners like Peter. And then God has ordained that the preaching ministry by which sinners are caught and saved should be carried out. Not by sinless men, but by sinful men like Peter and like every other preacher who has ever lived since. And every single person whom Peter would catch by preaching the gospel would also be a sinner, just like he was. The gospel itself is the message of sin and grace, of repentance and the forgiveness of sins to sinners through faith in Christ Jesus, who paid the price for sin on the cross, so that the sinner who trusts in Jesus has no wrath or punishment or death. We apply these words first to those who are pastors, teachers, preachers, like Peter, James, and John became, And the four things that Peter learned that day must also be learned by those who occupy the preaching office and by those who benefit from their preaching. First, that in the ministry of catching men, we must trust only in Christ and His Word. Human reason tells us that preaching and teaching the Word and administering the sacraments, teaching Bible classes, having a divine service, but those things aren't enough. We have to add personality to our preaching. Charisma. Personal caring. It's not that those things should be lacking, but those are not the things that make up the casting of the gospel net. Human reason tells us that we need the right methods, the right programs, that we have to work hard at making God's Word effective, palatable to people, or even understandable beyond simply teaching it, as if there were some secret behind presenting God's Word. But Christ has commanded us simply to preach repentance and the forgiveness of sins, to go and make disciples. How? By baptizing and teaching. So we must trust His Holy Spirit to do what He wants through our preaching. Leave all the results to Him. He will produce the catch He wants. How does He do it? I don't even know. He's God. He does what He wants. You know by what means He does it. His Word. Then, after we trust, we are to obey, to follow Christ's instructions for the catch, which means teaching, as He says to the disciples in Matthew 28, all things that I have commanded you. We are to preach the Word, to be ready in season and out of season, to, as Paul says to Pastor Timothy, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. We are, as the Apostle Peter would later write to other elders, that is, pastors, to shepherd the flock of God which is among us, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, more as being lords over those entrusted to us, but being examples to the flock. Paul said, we are not to be greedy, nor peddlers of the Word of God for personal gain. We are not to corrupt the heavenly doctrine, or add to it, or subtract from it, but teach it faithfully and purely, whether or not our hearers receive it or us. Thirdly, we trust, we obey, we are to remember that Christ is in charge of the catch and will miraculously bring an enormous number of men into His net through His preaching. But there is only one net. And it stretches throughout the world, and we only see a tiny piece of it here among us. So that the number of people we see caught here in the net is just a tiny, tiny portion of those whom Christ is catching and will catch throughout the world. We also have to rely on our companions to help us bring in this catch, both the preachers throughout the world and those in the globe, those in the churches who support the ministry of the Word among them in their midst. Together, Christ brings in the catch through us. Labor in the same waters, even though we don't see all the waters, even though we're separated from those Christians by many states and many continents. And through all of Christ's church, the great catch of fish will be brought in. Finally, the fourth lesson, as Peter learned, so we are to learn, we are not to be afraid, even though we creatures are sinful men, as Peter was. Sinful men who do not deserve His ministry, who do not even deserve to be called children of God, sons of God, much less ministers of Christ. But Jesus says, do not be afraid. We are unworthy of this ministry. But Christ's forgiveness makes us worthy to stand before God. And Christ's call through the church is what makes us worthy to stand before his people in this office. So much for preachers, catchers, at least for now. What about the hearers? What about the cough? Same lessons apply to the fish who have been caught, or that are yet to be caught. First, we trust in Christ's word as he catches men for eternal life. Human reason, our flesh, tells us that his word isn't enough. And we must be doing something wrong if the gospel isn't bringing in lots of people. If our attendance doesn't go up, or if it does go down. And so what we see around us becomes then the object of our faith instead of our simple word. So first we learn to trust without seeing. We learn to trust the word and power of Christ so that no matter what we see, that isn't what matters. What matters is God's word being preached faithfully among us. Are the sacraments being rightly administered among us? That's the object of our faith. First trust, then obey. Do what Jesus says. But he doesn't say to all Christians, go catch men. Go preach the gospel. In Peter's epistle, the entire epistle of which we're in a portion today, chapter 3, he doesn't once command all of the Christians to whom he's writing to go out and preach the gospel as if you were pastors or apostles. What he does say is, all of you have compassion. What he does say is that you are all being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean becoming neighborhood preachers. It does mean that all of your service to God as Christians in your vocation is pleasing to God and acceptable sacrifice to him through Christ Jesus. It means that Christian mothers being good mothers, or fathers being good fathers, or sons and daughters being obedient and honoring sons and daughters is an acceptable sacrifice to God, holy in his sight. It means that those who work in a vocation in the world are to work hard at their vocation because their jobs are holy, pleasing sacrifice to God. Carried out in faith toward God and in love toward your neighbor. These are the things that God gives all Christians to do. These are the things he gives us to obey. As Christians in the world who live according to his commandments, so that the church has no reason to be disrespected among outsiders as they see the behavior of church and those who call themselves Christians. That's the obedience to Christ's command. And yes, that also includes declaring the praises of God to those around you. But you do that where you are in your vocation. This is how God builds his church, through the preaching of the word, through the life of Christians in the church as they go out their life every day. It means coming to church, but not only coming to church. It means hearing the word, receiving the Lord's body and blood, but not that all the time, every day, as if that were your only way of serving God. Instead, in this boat, in this church, the life of Christ begins at the altar here and at the pulpit. And then goes out into the world as Christians who love God, obey his commandments, hear his word, and then come back for forgiveness again, and then go back out and live as Christians in the world. So Christ builds his church. Without our knowledge, without our understanding, sometimes without our seeing it, but I'm going to say it. The third lesson, remember that you're not alone in this net, just as we said before. Pastors have to remember that as we see numbers going up and down, and people believing or not believing, or believing for a while, and then falling away. And if your faith is built on what you see in the church, it's sorry for you. But we're all tempted to do that. We're all tempted, masters and viewers alike. So we remember that Jesus is bringing in his cash. We remember that we have companions in this. This boat and this church throughout the world, pastors and laity alike. So that we don't grow discouraged, because Christ's cash is going to take place and is taking place no matter what you do. And finally, don't be afraid. You are sinful men, sinful people, just like Peter was, like all church members have ever been. But Christ has borne your sin, made atonement for it. He has washed you clean by his blood and holy baptism. He continues to forgive you, and take away your guilt, and only absolution. Now Christ will make you into just the right kind of servant in his service, the right kind of hearer, so that he accomplishes what he wants in your life. Furthers the catch through you, even if you yourself aren't a fisherman. You are precious to them. So precious that nothing in all the world matters to men more than the catch of men, which God has carried out in the world, is carrying out in the world, will carry out in the world. That great catch of men which means more to God than all things.